This weekend we celebrate Memorial Day. And as many of you are aware, Memorial Day is a special day set aside. It was originally set aside back in 1868 for honoring and remembering the Civil War dead, over some 620,000 that gave their lives during the Civil War. But it was John A. Logan, a former Union general, who called for the first formal day of remembrance on May the 30th, 1868. School children were asked to spread flower petals upon the graves of the war dead. And since that time, the day has been changed to the last Monday in May, and the concept has been expanded to include a remembrance of American war dead sustained in all of America's conflicts. Let me just ask a question here this morning. I know that there are folks here who have served in the armed forces. If you've served in the armed forces, can I ask you to stand? If you've served in the armed forces of the United States, I'd ask you to stand at this time. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause, shall we? Amen. As Brother Bunk was sharing this morning, over in France, there is a national cemetery over there that has markers that just go forever. And it's a powerful testimony to the great sacrifice of young men and even young and women, young and old, who made sacrifice on the beaches of Normandy or in France, period, whether they went in by air or went in by the beach. Literally thousands of markers there. How many tombstone markers have been set for the casualties of war? How many mothers have wept over the loss of a son or a daughter because of the madness of war? How many children have grown up without a father or a mother because of war? I was reading an article this week about how war changes the lives of so many. For example, in the National Cemetery at Antietam, located in Maryland, there is the tombstone of one Private John Thompson, who was killed there in 1862. Let me share with you how his death touched the lives of his family. Certainly the loss of a loved one always touches the family, but just listen to what the outcome of his family because of his death. John Thompson of New York City was born to James and Ellen Thompson in the year 1844. There was a certain gentleness and innocence about the country at that time. Still, life was hard. At age 15, John's father died, and he was forced to quit school and go to work to support his widowed mother and his younger sister, Elizabeth. At a salary of $4 a week, he became an apprentice bricklayer. Then came the war, and nothing would ever be the same again. On August the 25th, 1861, at the age of 19, John enlisted in the 51st New York Regiment. Through midsummer of 1862, Private Thompson continued to support his mother by sending home most of his meager army wages. On September the 17th, 1862, as his regiment was attempting to cross Burnside Bridge during the Battle of Antietam, a sharpshooter's bullet found its mark, and young Thompson, in many ways just beginning his life, fell instantly dead. But the tragedy did not end there. Records indicate that his mother, stunned and sickened by her son's death, became gravely ill and never completely recovered. From the autumn of 1862 to the autumn of 1863, her health declined steadily until finally on November the 21st, 1863, she died, leaving her daughter Elizabeth, age 8, an orphan. Today we know that Private Thompson is buried in the National Cemetery at Antietam. His great sacrifice is easy for all to recognize. But we cannot forget the rippling effect of his death and how his loss affected the lives of others. His mother and his sister were also the victims of war, though history has long since lost track of their resting place. War leaves behind so many more casualties than just those buried in Flanders fields all over the world. Just since World War I, the war that was intended to end all wars, over 580,000 Americans have yet given their lives in war. There are 8 significant wars going on in Asia alone, 6 in Africa, 1 in Europe, and 3 in Latin America even today. These are significant wars claiming not only military dead, but innocent civilian lives as well. James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, asked the searching question, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" War comes about because of the selfishness and the greed of ungodly men. The prophet Jeremiah reminds us that the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And isn't it ironic that man's greatest goal in this life is to find peace on earth for himself, to fully discover that American dream of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but he has been laboring to find that peace and that satisfaction by improving his fighting skills, fighting tactics, and warring machines. Jesus told his disciples that one of the signs of the coming of the end of the age would be the proliferation of war. The proliferation of war. And I believe we have arrived at that prophetical point today. Only the Lordship of Jesus Christ will bring an end to war, usher in perfect peace and perfect rest from the anxiety and the distress and the horrors of that activity. But let me share this with you. There is hope for the future. Eternal hope. There is rest for the future. Eternal rest. And there is true life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, eternal, in the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 21, verse 28, the Bible says, "And when these things begin to," Christ was telling his disciples, "and when these things begin to come to pass," what things was he talking about? He was talking about the proliferation of war. He was talking about famines. He was talking about pestilences, and he was talking about earthquakes. "When you see these things come to pass," he says, "then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Because Christ is coming again, and he's coming sooner than later. And when he comes, peace will reign supreme throughout the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning I thank you for each one that's come this way. Father, we ask your blessing upon each one. We pray, Father, that as we share in these the wonderful hope of the future, Father, Lord, we've seen war. Every one of us here, Father, this morning, or many of us, Father, have seen war in some way, shape, or form. Either on the even in actual experience or on the television set or by testimony of others, Father, we're very much aware of war. But Father, there is hope for the future that we need as Christians to understand that the hope that we have for the future is also a hope that others can have as well, as we are faithful to share our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the promises that you have made to us as we share those with others. Father, I ask your blessing upon your people this morning. This being Memorial Day weekend, this being the Sunday, Father, of Memorial Day, Lord, you've given us a beautiful day. I pray today, Father, that as we celebrate Memorial Day, as tomorrow we will take, many of us will take a day off to relax at home or be involved in whatever activities. Father, we'll never forget and never take for granted what Memorial Day stands for, Father. It stands for all of those who have given their lives in defense of this nation in times of war. Father, we ask your blessing upon your people. You use us, Father, this morning in a special way. But we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. When Christ comes, death will be a villain of the past. When Christ comes, death will be a villain of the past, never to raise its ugly head again. The earth will be gloriously delivered from the original curse of sin, and man's search for complete satisfaction of the soul will find its fullness in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's coming about. I wouldn't want to leave. It's just like Paul said, if in this world, if only in this world you have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ or whatever, you're of men most miserable. But we have hope in the fact that God is bringing a new world and a new kingdom to the earth that will be a part of in the future. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 26 and 27, Ezekiel says, "I will make them," and God is, of course, speaking through Ezekiel. He says, "And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the showers to come down in his seasons, and there will be showers of blessings." In verse 27, he says, "And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord." And so when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom, there'll be an abundance in the land, and there'll be showers of blessings. When Christ comes, the wolf, the lion, and the lamb will lie down together in peace. In Isaiah 11, verses 6 and 7, it says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." Somebody said, told me one time that that there is a denomination, there's a cult that teaches that the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is ongoing today. That Jesus Christ, by his spiritual presence, is bringing about a world peace, is bringing about this time of great tranquility and so forth. But I'm going to tell you what. My answer to them is, if you get a lion with a lamb, see how long it's going to lay down there and be peaceful with it. The only way that there's going to be peace among a ferocious lion and a lamb is if that lamb's inside that lion. But Isaiah 11, verse 6 and 7 says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Well, I don't see that happening today, but by and by, that's coming about. By and by, we'll see that in the future. When Christ comes, there will be no more sickness. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, the Bible says, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Isaiah chapter 33, verse 24 says, "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquities." Our bodies will be without sin, will be without sickness, and will be without death. And when Christ comes, Christians will reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine living in under a government that is controlled totally by Christians? My goodness, wouldn't it be nice to have that luxury today? But you know, even Christians today, they need to have that new body. They need to have that that brand new image of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to properly rule and reign over the land. There are many Christians today that are carnal Christians. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but even on Capitol Hill, they'll rule and they'll reign with the world up there as though they don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Christ comes, Christians will be changed. Christians will have those new hearts, and Christians will have perfect image of the Lord Jesus Christ, where they'll rule and reign in perfect justice and harmony. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 says, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And so when the Lord Jesus comes back again, Christians will be reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, when Christ comes, the whole earth will know true joy, true peace, and true justice. The whole world will know true joy, true peace, and true justice. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Listen to those names again and tell me, who is this talking about? Who is this verse? Who is God talking about here? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Well, there's a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our counselor today. The Mighty God. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus Christ might be a God, but he's not the Mighty God. He's not the Almighty God. But the Bible says he is. The Bible says he is. In Revelation chapter 1, the Bible clearly says that Jesus was he that who was and who is and is to come, and the Almighty God. And so Jehovah's Witnesses can believe anything they want to, but if they're going to get right with the Holy Scriptures, they're going to see Jesus Christ as the Almighty God. And so this little child will be the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who's the Prince of Peace? Jesus. And it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Just continuous growing and continuous peace. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. During the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, nations will still be in this world. Nations will still be together. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Tombstones will be a thing of the past. We won't have a need for tombstones. Because listen, those folks that are beneath those tombstones now, they're coming out of those graves by and by. If they know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be raptured right out of those graves and given new bodies and be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. We shared that back not too long ago. And so there won't be any need for tombstones anymore. Neither shall they learn war anymore. In Isaiah 55:12, the Bible says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. What a wonderful future to look forward to. You know, this little lady who lost her son at Antietam, by and by, if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ, well, they're together in Christ Jesus even today. How sad to have lost a son in the war, but how wonderful, thank the Lord Jesus Christ, that they could be together again for all eternity, never to face bullets or war anymore. The question here is your future this morning secure in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your future this morning secure in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for the end of war and the coming reign of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the world? You need to be. You need to get your heart right with the Lord. Psalm 24 asks this question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer is this, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now let me ask you, how do we get clean hands and clean hearts? How do we get clean hands and clean hearts this morning? Soap's not going to do it. Soap's not going to do it. Church attendance is certainly not going to do it. Working for it's not going to help at all. How do we get clean hands and clean hearts? We give our heart to the Lord Jesus. We ask his forgiveness for our sins, and we acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, and we begin a new walk in his light. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ is truth, is walking in truth. Are you walking in truth today? Do you live your life trying to be somebody else? Do you live your life trying to pattern your life after somebody else? Well, I would hope that young people, if you're trying to pattern your life after somebody else, you look at your mom and your dad, and if they're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the pattern that you want to follow. But if you're looking beyond, if you're looking for some to pattern your life after some rock star or after some motion picture star, you better take a good look at the outcome of what that life brings, because so many times we read of drugs and alcohol, divorce, and all of these other negatives that go right along with it. Let me tell you, young people, you need to pattern your life after the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, you need to find out what it is that the Lord Jesus would want you to do, and the Scripture tells you what the Lord Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to honor your mother and your father. And moms and dads, what a burden that is on you, you know? You have to live an example. If the kids are just going to learn about church as they come to learn about the Lord as they come to church, and they don't learn about the Lord at home, well, we're wasting our time after all. Young people are going to learn from mom and dad. And mom and dad, you're going to learn, hopefully, by having a healthy relationship day by day with the Lord Jesus Christ in Bible study, in sharing one with another about the things of the Lord, and also having fellowship with other Christians. That's walking in truth. That's walking in the light. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, in closing, the Bible says, "This then is the message." John says, John walked with the Lord Jesus for 3 years. And John says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light," or truth, "and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." How are you walking today? Are you walking in the truth of the Lord Jesus? Are you trying to be honest and truthful with what by opening your heart to the Lord Jesus? Let him guide you and give you direction as to the path he'd like for you to follow. You can do that, and Christ will speak to you. He will speak to you. Speak to the heart, and he'll give you guidance and direction. And the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ will come and rest upon you wholly and wonderfully. How about you? Are you walking in truth today? If the Lord Jesus Christ was to come today, if the rapture of the church was to take place today, would you be going home to be with the Lord, or would you be left behind? You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be left behind. The Lord says, when you see all of these things coming to pass, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Any day, the Lord can come for his church. Are you ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we thank you for the blessings of life that you bestow upon us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope, Lord, that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the promises that you've made to us. And Father, as we walk each and every day, Lord, sometimes the old devil will say, "Well, where is the evidence of his coming?" And yet, Father, we realize the evidence of his coming is in his word. And so, Father, help us to trust and obey your word, Father, to walk daily with the Lord Jesus Christ by way of listening and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts. Father, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as a Lord and Savior, has never made that personal commitment, I pray today that they would open their hearts and to receive the Holy Spirit and receive salvation, Father, as the Holy Spirit knocks upon their heart's door. Father, you get praise, get honor, and glory. All hearts, this morning, Father, I pray that every heart would be comforted in knowing that by and by, you're coming again. Father, war will not go on forever. Pestilence will not go on forever. Sickness will not go on forever, neither death. All of these things will pass away as we trust and we look forward to your coming. Father, bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.